This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Diddy Behind Bars, week one. That's right, week one of the Diddy Jail Watch. Sean Combs trying every trick in the book to walk free until his October sentencing. 1 week. A lot can happen in just 7 days, and believe me, it's been rocking in the courthouse and the jailhouse. Good evening, I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. In the last week, Sean Combs' defense team realizing they've got to redo Diddy's image. It's time for a Diddy makeover. As Sean Combs heads for sentencing, his lawyers aiming to show he is no longer a, quote, bad boy for life. Good luck. Joining us tonight, Tisa Tales from Tisa Tales on YouTube. Tisa, what happened?
Now, one of the most interesting things that happened, that came out, and it happened so loud, it eclipsed the cheers from all the Diddy, dirty Diddy, Tootsie Roll degenerates, okay, was somebody named Chef Jordan. If you guys don't know who this is Diddy's chef. She's a celebrity chef. She's worked for some of the biggest names. And one of the worst experiences that happened to her was working with Diddy. She actually went on Instagram Live and said she predicted this. She said that she was set to testify. However, the prosecution flew her in. She was set to testify that day. And minutes before she took the stand, that morning, the prosecution said, you know what? Never mind. You don't have to tell your story. Now, why did they say never mind? Because she had been telling the prosecution that they were playing this all wrong, that they weren't speaking to the community. That she actually said, no one cares about beaten women. Nobody does. You need to tell them about the way he treated the employees, and you need to talk about the executives. Now, who are the executives? They were named throughout the lawsuit, okay? Some of them were industry record executives. Some of them were the high-level executives in Diddy's organization. She said that was the key, and she implored the prosecution, focus on that. Focus on our beatings. Focus on our, because they can't say that we signed up for freak-offs. It wasn't the fact that Diddy liked getting rough and handsies in freak-offs. It's the fact that, like Maureen Comey said, Diddy liked using his hands and feet. And when he couldn't use his hands and feet, he grabbed his pistols and went a shooting. Again, the claim she made on her Instagram Live literally had people scratching their head. She said that Diddy, before the feds had tried to get in touch with her to subpoena her for the grand jury. They then notified her that you've been subpoenaed and you need to testify on the grand, to come in and have an interview with the feds. Before she even went to her first interview with the feds, she said she still has the emails that Diddy's attorney reached out to her and said, Mr. Combs has found out that it's come to his attention that you're actually going to have to be interviewed. We would like to offer you legal services. This is the same legal services, the legal deal that they offered to Jane. What's the difference between Chef Jordan and Jane? Well, for one, Chef Jordan was never in a freak-off. But the other thing, Chef Jordan previously had accused Diddy of assaulting her, beating her, doing the worst to her. She couldn't stand Diddy, and she swore never to talk to him again or be around him. So again, some people said, that's not witness tampering. Chef Jordan came out and said, she considered it witness tampering because we never liked each other. You don't like me, I don't like you. How do you even know what I'm doing? Where is the mole? She was terrified. She was scared for her life. Again, in social media, our heads were exploding. Why didn't the prosecution call her? She was ready and able. How did you think Jane was a better witness till, as opposed to Chef Jordan? Again, she told us so much.
Lauren Conlon, what exactly happened?
I think that a lot of people are extremely disappointed in the verdict. And I think that's because they've seen what this man is capable of, what he's gotten away with throughout the years. You know, it's been decades and decades of activity that could be labeled criminal. Although if I bring up the Club New York shooting, I'm going to have someone come at me and say, no, somebody was convicted of that and served time. okay, sure, yes, Shine did serve time for that, but intellectually, I think many of us feel that Sean Combs was responsible, even though, again, a court of law and a jury said that this was Shine. So I think that at this point, I understand why people are disappointed in the verdict. I don't think that this was a federal case. I think that if this case actually got to a state court in Los Angeles in 2016 after the Cassie video, hands down, he would have been convicted on aggravated assault and bribery, most likely, and we wouldn't be here. So, you know, we'll wait and see. I'm anxious for October 3rd.
And in the last 7 days, bookies all over the world going haywire. That's right, bets through the roof. How long will Diddy stay behind bars?
Yes, many people are taking bets right now about how long Diddy will stay behind bars. What kind of sentencing will he get? I think that it's been really crazy because a lot of attorneys were mind blown by the fact that Diddy was staying behind bars based on prostitution charges or a prostitution conviction alone, because that's not really standard here. But this case in many ways is not your standard federal case. When the judge did not grant Diddy bail and made him stay behind bars until sentencing, I think I was mainly confused because I saw the judge kind of joke with him in the morning. And, you know, when Mark Agnifilo brought up bail, the judge said, okay, Mr. Combs, I understand you would like to leave the MDC. And he kind of smiled and Diddy was like, yes. So to me, I was like, wow, this judge is really considering it here, because why else would he make jokes with him? Well, turns out, that didn't happen. Diddy obviously has to stay where he is until his bail hearing, until his sentencing hearing, which is October 3rd, 2025. But what the judge cited was that it was the defense's own words that their client was a violent man. He was violent, and this was their own admission. And additionally, they got letters from Cassie and the chef, Chef Atkinson, saying that they were scared for their lives, essentially, if he were to be released.
Tisa, weigh in.
I know you guys have heard the rumors. There are bets going around worldwide. Diddy's name is trending, not on the charts, like Kanye and Diddy would hope, but his name is trending among the bookies of the world. People are taking bets to see how long Sean Diddy Combs is going to stay behind bars. Now, what am I hearing? Listen, I know Diddy's team did the impossible, but judging by Judge Aaron's tone and even him asking, hey, I want prosecution and defense to bring me evidence about what the minimal sentence or the average sentence in man axes, they are looking at that, and Diddy's team seems to be celebrating. So you would think the bookies would make more money by betting that Diddy stays in jail longer. But here's the thing, okay? Judging by Judge Aaron's tone, what he told Diddy, the way he views Diddy's supporters, and the way Diddy has shown no remorse, I'm thinking that the bookies might have it wrong. Again, it's just a guess, but Diddy might stay in there for 5 to 10 years. But here's the thing that I think everybody's overlooking, okay? The bookies need to have a bet on how long Sean Diddy Combs is going to stay out of jail. Because let's not forget, this is a man that was being surveilled. This is a man that was facing sex trafficking, violence, public condemnation. And this is a man that not only was ordering escorts when he knew what he was up against, but he beat Jane viciously and then he made her perform. Again, unrepentant and unafraid. So again, just like John Gotti and just like R. Kelly, yes, the feds might have missed on the first round, because many people argue that Mark Agnifilo rushing the trial actually short-circuited the Fed's investigation and they weren't able to get as much information or convince as many witnesses as they'd like to come and actually share their story. But again, my bet is it's not how long Diddy is going to due time. It's how long he's going to stay out of jail. Because somebody that arrogant, that proud, that perverted, that stubborn, in my opinion, it's only a matter of time before Diddy is his own undoing. And now, not just the feds, but everyone, including girls he wants to fly out to the Turks, including sex workers he wants to call and say, hey, we have a party going on. Can you be here in 30 minutes? Everybody is going to be on the lookout. Some people will be opportunists, but the victims know that they now have a narrative that they can stake a case on. Again, how long is Diddy going to keep himself out of jail? I don't know. I think he's going to be back in. Let's just say he gets probation and time served. I think he's going to go back in within 2 years. A leopard does not change their stripes. And right now, Diddy is wearing a full fur coat.
Joining us now, veteran defense attorney Eric Faddis. Eric, weigh in.
Nancy, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, my money would be on a sentence that is really on the lower end of the range. You know, I've heard a lot of folks discussing this, and numbers that come up are like between 2 and 3 years. Now, let's be clear. He is facing up to 10 years on each of his two convictions, so a total of up to 20 years could be run consecutively, meaning one after the other, but could be also run concurrently, meaning the sentences would run at the same time. There's at least a chance, with no criminal history and only being convicted on the least serious counts, that Diddy gets somewhere within the 2 to 3 year range, or even possibly time served.
In the last week, Sean Combs' former chef says she's afraid of retaliation after that split verdict, that she is in fear for her own safety. As you will recall, we covered it, but I didn't really hear about it in the courtroom. Sean Combs' personal chef was in a confrontation with Sean Combs. She alleges, and there is a witness, that Sean Combs attacked her and beat her. Afterwards, Combs asked one of his minions to go to the police and report the incident and lie and claim the female chef was the aggressor. Sounds just like what he said about Cassie in that beatdown video from the Intercontinental. The private chef, Jordan Atkinson, says she was a witness and a victim of his physical abuse while she worked for him. She sends a letter to the judge begging that Combs be denied bail while he awaits sentencing.
How powerful would it have been if Diddy's personal chef, who was not a girlfriend, because apparently when you beat your girlfriend, you're fine, had got on stand and been allowed to tell her story? What is that story? Simple. Diddy and her had words. Diddy was always volatile, according to her, okay? He assaulted her for no reason out of the blue. He then instructed his minions to go to the police station and file a fake police report against Chef Jordan, saying she was the aggressor. But that's not even it. She witnessed him be violent to countless other employees. She witnessed him be violent to Cassie. The infamous 2009 beating that left her with Cassie with permanent brain injury. According to Cassie, she witnessed that too. Again, how powerful would that be? Why didn't the prosecution get her on? There is no perfect witness. But if Jane could get on the stand, why couldn't Chef Jordan? Again, I wish the prosecution had listened to her, because again, she is right. Unfortunately, that group of 12 did not care about any of the violence that pertained to any woman that Diddy loved. However, she was the link, I believe, to proving RICO. This is a criminal organization dedicated not just to fulfilling all your six sexual desires, but also to covering up the decades of violence you have allegedly inflicted on your employees and anybody that stood in your way. Again, you gotta wonder why it didn't happen. However, Chef Jordan did write a letter to the judge begging him to see Diddy for who he is and not through the star-glazed eyes of the jury. Again, we will see on October 3rd if Judge Aaron heard her.
During the last 7 days, sex assault survivors across the country stunned claiming the Sean Combs verdict is a huge step back for the Me Too movement.
I don't necessarily think that this was a setback for the Me Too movement. I really think that this was such a unique and complicated case because of the fact that Sean Combs was in a relationship with both Cassie and Jane, and the correspondences that the jury saw, they were very nuanced here, very, very nuanced. And unfortunately, assault or aggravated assault and domestic violence, this just was not a charge. But I do feel like if we were back in 2016 and there was an aggravated assault charge brought against Sean Combs, as well as bribery, it would be a no-brainer and he would have been convicted and we wouldn't be here. So I think, again, that, you know, the federal case against him may have been an overreach, certain aspects of it, but I don't think that anybody should be deterred from coming forward. I really, really don't. And I think that the one thing that I'll also say about this is come forward to the police first. I know that there are many reasons why survivors don't want to go to the police, and I understand that. I completely get that. I will say, going to the police before going to a civil attorney will 100% help the credibility of the survivor in court based on what I've seen in court. And again, this is not me saying I don't believe anybody because they went to a civil attorney. Absolutely not. I just think that based on what I've seen in these cases, before doing that, if you're gonna go to anybody, please go to law enforcement. Again, I understand why so many survivors don't do that. But if you are considering this, please go there first.
And in the last 7 days, after their father, Sean Combs, is taken out of the courtroom to the jailhouse in tears, his children on the move as well. Christian Combs heads to Jamaica. He needs a vacation after that split verdict. While Sean Combs' twin daughters announce, following all the press and media surrounding their dad's conviction, they're going to use this opportunity to launch their own clothing line.
Christian Combs is back on vacation, but I gotta tell you the truth, did he ever leave vacation? Yeah, they waddled in a couple of weeks during the trial, 2 weeks in the beginning, 2 weeks at the end, but after that, Christian was living his life. I was in the courtroom every day, and I gotta tell you, I didn't see him that often. Now that said, okay, Diddy's a monster to me, but he is a father to Christian, so maybe the weight of the kids, and I use that term loosely because Christian is what, 28, 29, I think. One son is 30, the other son is 31, going on 32. But Diddy's children, at least the male children, maybe it's a lot seeing their father in the courtroom. Maybe it's a lot of hearing what their father like smeared over his body. I don't know, I don't wanna judge. The twins, however, they are little girls. They just turned 18. They seem very, all his daughters seem very mild mannered, very sweet. They tried to actually come up with a clothing line, a hoodie line. I believe it's called 1221, but like anything tied to Diddy's legacy, there is already scandal. They came up with this really cute post about it means numerology, one is, it, you know, entrepreneurship, two is this and that, and then it's 21 backwards, okay? Again, it made sense in the moment. You had to see the effort. However, as much as people try to advocate that Diddy's team advocates for the community, there is a black creator who has a hoodie line and a clothing line named 1221. Now, I don't blame the Combs daughters. They are young. Clearly, Diddy knows, in my mind, that all his assets are probably going to be seized in forfeiture. And he's trying to make income streams through his children so it can't flow back into him. So I don't blame the daughters for this scandal. I don't think their daughters were on the internet trying to steal up-and-coming black designers' designs. I don't think that at all. However, I do think that the team that Diddy put him with are probably some of Diddy's best employees for Sean John. And I think they operate under the Combs quote-unquote RICO organization of the way you move ahead in a business and the way that you want. So in that way, I do not think the twins did anything untoward, but I think the team that their daddy put them with, the team that helped Diddy commit Mann Act violations, I think that team is now in full effect, and it's odd to me that even with all eyes watching, the first thing they do, according to this content creator, it looks like is steal from another content creator. Again, and I say this once, like that, it's going to be a long, hard road for Diddy to change his nature. And I don't think at any point, even what he just did to his daughters with the team he set up with them, I don't think in any way he is anywhere close to doing that. So yeah, it's gonna be a long, hard road to anybody that shares the Combs names, because as long, it seems like as long as they let Diddy get close to anything they're doing, yeah, it's always gonna just, yeah, rotten zucchini.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Joining us now with the latest Crime Stories investigative reporter, Sydney Sumner. Sydney, what more can you tell us about that?
Well, I think Agnifilo was realizing he may have put his foot in his mouth again, leaning way too far into Combs' ownership of his violent tendencies. I mean, he's been dressed, in your words, as a Harvard undergrad for the duration of the trial. They are really trying to make him look like a clean-cut, humble family man. They want the judge to focus on Combs' relationship with his kids, his charity work, and his previous attempts at rehab and promises to do better in the future. But they are fighting back decades of a bad boy legacy. Sean Combs hasn't been humble, down to earth, or truly apologetic for anything he's done in years. He throws violent tantrums when he doesn't get his way. He attacked someone at a wedding for going on a date with his ex. He beat Steve Stout for leaving a clip he didn't approve of in a music video. He broke into Vibe magazine because the editor wouldn't send him a preview cover. There are years of proven violent allegations against him on top of what the judge heard in court. Defense attorneys can do their best to paint Combs in a positive light, but I think their initial objection to a full pre-sentencing investigation wasn't to get things over with, but out of fear of what may be discovered if authorities do any more digging on his past.
Oh my stars. Second verse, same as the first. Kanye West rearing his ugly head again. That's right, Kanye West and Sean Combs, aka Diddy, set to release another album amidst the scandal. We've got so much to look forward to. Kanye West and Sean Combs attempting to join forces again in the studio and the jailhouse, despite both the artists facing intense backlash and scrutiny. How in the world is Sean Combs going to record tracks with Kanye West? Uh-oh, they've done it before. Sean Combs recorded on the jailhouse phone. Joining us now, veteran defense attorney Eric Faddis. Eric, weigh in.
Nancy, it wouldn't be unprecedented for a musician to record some new music while in custody. It's happened before. They can do it over the jail phone. Sometimes there's kind of like a Zoom opportunity for jailhouse visits. Perhaps they'll do it in that fashion. Now, Diddy has to be careful, though, because, you know, there'll be some folks who come out to support him after this verdict. He's got to be selective about with whom he aligns. And, you know, Kanye West, yay, right now, is maybe just not the most favorable character with whom Diddy should be associating if he is trying to rebrand and sort of revitalize his career and his image. Diddy is a master marketer. He always has been. He's been able to market himself. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of those traits trickled down genetically to his children. You know, is this the best timing to be launching a new clothing line? Reasonable minds can differ on that. But I'm not surprised that folks in the Diddy camp, including his son, are taking this as an opportunity, trying to find some kind of silver lining that they can use to then promote themselves and their own livelihood.
Lauren Conlon, weigh in.
Well, Nancy, Kanye West has already been recording music with Christian Combs, as you know. You got a shout out. But really, anything can be done through prison or through jail. I mean, the fact that Suge Knight actually has a podcast that he records while in jail, and not only that, he's a frequent guest on different news and media outlets. I mean, we really shouldn't be surprised here that Kanye West and Diddy are planning to record music through the jailhouse phones. And I mean, do they think that that also gives them some kind of credibility here with people? The fact that Diddy is still working hard behind bars, he's trying to ensure that he has a future in the music industry ahead of him. I mean, will people be cool with that, or will they look down upon that and just say, look, man, do your time, act like you're sorry, and kind of, you know, deal with all this stuff later after your affairs are in order? I guess we'll wait and see.
And apparently all cross sections of our population have been affected by the Diddy verdict. Tonight, we understand infuriated swingers are speaking out about the impact Diddy's freak-off parties have had on the swinger community.
So, not surprisingly, the swinger community doesn't want to be associated with Diddy. You know, I certainly get that. And I think sort of it speaks to the intra-group diversity among some of these lifestyles, some of these social movements, whatever you want to call them, that there are differences among those folks. They're not all like-minded. They don't all do the same things and engage in the same types of conduct. And I think that's really the thrust, forgive me, of the arguments for these swingers is differentiating themselves from Diddy.
Tisa Tales from Tisa Tales on YouTube. Tisa, weigh in.
When I tell you Diddy is radioactive, and good luck to Mark Agnifilial trying to turn him into a church boy, the swingers of America open have come out, and multiple swinger associations, I know, who knew, right? Multiple swinger organizations have come forward and said, how dare you associate our good name with that pond scum, Sean Diddy Combs. Now, why is this so important, okay? I think it underlines the fact of the jury should be ashamed of themselves.
Yes, it's true. Sean Combs claims a victory in court with a split verdict, acquitted on 3 counts, convicted on only 2. But as of tonight, Sean Combs risking losing a $400 million empire despite those 3 acquittals, civil suits, legal fees surging.
Listen, one of the best things that's happening out of this is even in his quote-unquote victory, Diddy is set to go broke. Listen, he has a $400 million kingdom. However, only I think $50 million of that was actually liquid, because that's what he offered the Bellsman. Now, here's the thing that I find so interesting. These civil cases are about to run through Diddy's pockets. Why is that? Because even though Diddy's supporters are like, he's free, he got convicted of 2 federal sex acts. If he used any of Combs Global, Bad Boy Worldwide, or whatever his company's names are, that opens the door for federal forfeiture. Now, spoiler alert, I sat through trial, through weeks of accountants boring us to death, but also painting a picture of where the money came from to pay for these women and to pay for the escorts. Spoiler alert, they came from Diddy's company. Now, what does that mean? 2 things. Federal forfeiture will pull everything away, but I've heard rumblings that there is going to be a mad dash from some of the escorts, and they said Diddy has used hundreds of escorts during the years, and also maybe even from Jane. Let's not forget that the Mann Act convictions make it so much easier for civil claims to be proven. Let's also not forget what Judge Aaron said. Diddy You told us yourself in the courtroom that you were violent, that you did commit those acts, that you are the devil. You're just saying that it's not a crime. Well, maybe it's not a crime, but guess what? It looks like it might actually be something civil. Diddy is about to go bankrupt. But again, I think this leads credibility to the fact that people are saying that Diddy is restructuring. He no longer wants to be the face. Sean John, that's going to be shifted to his daughters and his cute daughter's hoodie line and clothing line. His sons are going to be the ones that get the producing credits and everything that Bad Boy Entertainment had. And he might even put an alcohol brand under one of his kids too. Again, Diddy seeks to reallocate assets, but I don't think this reallocation is going to happen fast enough to stem this tidal wave of civil lawsuits that are going to come forward within the statute of limitations. Why? Because Diddy has already admitted to the worst of the crimes. Anyway, we are waiting and we hope justice is served.
And in the last days, another courtroom victory for Sean Combs, one of the many, many civil complaints filed against him, has been dismissed by a judge. A lawsuit filed against Sean Combs by April Lampros has been dismissed in part because of the statute of limitations, the judge ruling too much time has passed. The attorney in the case, Tyrone Blackburn, says he intends to depose Sean Combs within 60 days. Joining us now, Lauren Conlon from Pop Crime TV on YouTube. Lauren Conlon, weigh in.
The civil suits, they seem to keep on coming. I mean, some have been dismissed. I know a judge just dismissed a lawsuit against Sean Combs by April Lampros, partly because of the statute of limitations. However, I know that her attorney, Tyrone Blackburn, says that he intends to depose Mr. Combs within 60 days. But at this point, I think a lot of these civil attorneys, not so much Doug Wigder, but I would say Tyrone Blackburn, Tony Busby, they are slowly but surely losing some credibility in the eye of public opinion based on what certain witnesses said actually on the stand in Sean Combs' criminal trial about their civil lawsuits. Tyrone Blackburn, he was representing Brianna Bongolin, who had stated that Sean Combs allegedly dangled her over a balcony, and she admitted on the stand that Mr. Blackburn added a section about her possibly being sexually assaulted. And she said, you know, that didn't really happen. It was exaggerated. His hands kind of went up when he lifted me up, but it wasn't necessarily an assault, a sexual assault. And also, Tyrone Blackburn just made the news for being arrested for backing over a process server.
Eric Faddis, weigh in.
There's a chance, Nancy, that these verdicts could cause a momentum shift in favor of Diddy with respect to the pending civil cases that are still going on. You know, those folks might think to themselves, gosh, it's kind of harder to prove in court some allegation that I'm bringing. On top of that, that there has been public condemnation against Cassie, against Jane. There is even the specter of retaliation. All of those factors could cause these plaintiffs to be disincentivized to proceed with their cases. Perhaps it could even have an effect on the jurists, the judges who are making decisions, and ultimately the jurors who may decide the ultimate fate on the civil side. Are they going to be influenced by what happened and sort of the media saturation around it? Certainly they've heard of how these verdicts came down.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Tisa, weigh in.
Listen, these civil suits that are coming from Diddy is going to be no joke. One of which has come to the forefront is April Lampert. She is being represented by Tyrone Blackburn Esquire. Now listen, Blackburn seems to know what he is doing, okay? He says he's planning to depose Diddy within 60 days. Why is that so significant? Because a lot of things that April alleged in her complaint Again, Diddy's team has admitted in court. But more importantly, okay, it signals that these lawyers led by Blackburn are not afraid of Diddy. They are willing to take on the Dream Team. And even though you can't find a conviction criminally, civilly, where you only need, 51%, right? More likely than not that it happened, they have a wave of evidence that no reasonable jury could deny or should deny. Also, people are saying that they are keeping an idea on the way the prosecution's team, what the case went down, what they could have done better, what they would have changed. And they are coming with both guns blazing. Pow, 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 pow. Now, Diddy's team has tried to get a rush on this and created a media storm because they love to deny, delay, and mislead by saying, oh, it's already been dismissed. However, it has not. A lot of legal experts are pointing out maybe it has been dismissed against Diddy's parent companies, but when it comes to Diddy's personal liability and Diddy's $400 million fortune that he personally owns, oh baby, the suit is very much active and very much going for it. We are going to pay attention to that April Lampert case and keep you updated as it goes along. But I am hoping that the prosecution crawled so that these civil attorneys led by Tyrone Blackburn Esquire can run straight to the bank and empty out all of Diddy's accounts.
No bond for Sean Combs. Diddy will sit behind bars and wait for sentencing. But how did we get here?
Breaking news tonight. Diddy went, went. Can I do this anymore? Did Sean Puffy Combs, a.k.a. Love, a.k.a. Diddy, and on, did he actually order others demanding that they, quote, dig up dirt on alleged victims? Not only that, we are getting reports that Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, would, let's just say, ask other inmates to use their phone cards, their phones, their phone time to do three ways, patch him into people trying to dig up dirt on victims, possibly contacting alleged victims himself. What, with bribes or threats? Don't know that yet, but I will find out. Listen to this.
Sean Combs isn't just monitoring social media from behind bars. The feds say Combs has been using other MDC inmates' phone access codes to make surreptitious calls. Combs then uses his sons to loop in a third party or directly contacts unauthorized individuals. While the contents of the calls have been redacted in court documents, prosecutors say the conversations clearly outline Combs' intent to silence witnesses.
And more.
As part of the interagency contraband sweep at the MDC, agents confiscate 19 pages of notes from Sean Combs' belongings and turn them over to federal prosecutors. Among those notes are inspirational quotes, reminders about family and financial matters that need to be discussed, and a to-do list. That list includes a need to instruct a family member to, quote, find dirt on two potential victims and, quote, find everything on another victim.
Isn't it true the correctional facility has a special place for lawyers to meet with their clients?
Yes. Inmates meet with their lawyers inside the visiting room. In the various corners, they have attorney-client rooms. There's typically two to three in each visiting room in any federal prison. Those visits are typically scheduled ahead of time through the inmate's counselor, which is a part of the inmate's unit team. And they normally happen during the normal visiting hours. MDC Brooklyn, the visiting hours are between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. on weekends and holidays.
Dr. Hendricks, could you describe the private room where inmates are allowed to speak to their lawyers at length?
Typically, the rooms will have maybe two to it's set up kind of like a interview style, where there's like a table. One side the inmate would sit on, and there's usually no more than three chairs on the other side in case, you know, you have two counsel or maybe a paralegal there to take notes with that with the particular their particular client. The rooms are very small. They're glass, so the staff that's having oversight of that particular visit, they can't hear what's going on in the room, but they can sit at a vantage point where they can see where, you know, what's going on in that room in case, you know, emergency.
And Dr. Hendricks, how long do inmates get to meet with their lawyers? Hours and hours in private. They have access to a law library. Isn't it true that Sean Combs is getting additional time to meet with his lawyers?
Throughout my career, it's typically, you know, no more than a couple of hours, depending on what this particular request is for that particular inmate. Now, if we're talking about the Sean Combs case, as we know, he's at the courthouse first thing in the morning. And court starts around 9:30, and it's ending about 4 p.m. So if visiting ends at 7 p.m., with them having to undress him out, put him in a vehicle, take him back to the jail, get him fed, you know, you're talking about, and then being in process back into the jail, we're talking about 5:15, 5:30, which would only give them an hour and a half to prep with him to go over a strategy for the next day. So if they're asking for additional time, I could see at the warden's discretion, especially as a high profile as this case is and all the public interest, whether it's here in America or even internationally, I don't see any concerns with them giving them another 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours to prep with their client for the next day. I mean, this trial is tentatively scheduled to end. The goal is to end it by the end of the month or before the 4th of July weekend. So we're talking about 4 weeks, you know, maybe 5 to 10 hour additional hours during the week and maybe 2 to 3 hours on the weekend, depending on what else is going on.
Dr. Hendricks, isn't it true that the MDC is open on the weekends and the lawyers could go meet with Combs on the weekends?
Yes. And it, again, it is open. Visiting hours are from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., weekends and holidays. And it's visiting is open until 7 p.m. on a normal weekday. So they have, you know, depending on how long it takes the marshals to get him back to the jail, it's not going to take him very long to be in process to the East Building where he's currently being housed. So they'll probably have about an hour and a half to meet with him. And depending on which attorneys he's going to meet with, what their strategy is going to be, it's not an unusual request for them for him to meet with his attorneys for a couple more hours. I mean, there's between a 9 and 10 o'clock count each day in the facility, and they can put him on an out count in the visiting room while he's down there visiting. Because again, this trial is only going to last a few more weeks. And the last thing the Bureau of Prisons, and more specifically MDC Brooklyn, does not want to do is be a part of any hindrance to him having effective counsel and giving grounds for them to, you know, on appeal to say, hey, you know, he didn't get effective counsel because the institution didn't allow him to visit with his attorneys. And then they're going to look at historical data. They're going to look at how big, you know, how many inmates were housed at that facility in the past versus what they have now, and in making a sound correctional judgment decision, it just doesn't make sense to not try as much as possible to accommodate this request.
Joining me right now, Angelica Martinez Cervigna, joining us in front of the jail. Tell me about Sean Combs's daily schedule behind bars and what you know about the jail. Who are other famous celebs that have been in that very jail?
Yes, Nancy, we are standing right behind me is where Sean Puffy Combs is currently being held in Brooklyn right now. There are reports saying that he's being held in the special housing unit, which is separate from the general prison population and is usually used for inmates that might need additional protection. Ghislaine Maxwell, R. Kelly, when they were here in this prison, they were also held in the special housing unit. And we have a former warden Cameron Lindsay, who is actually on record as saying that Diddy poses as a very attractive target for other inmates in the MDC, saying, quote, to deliver a hit on him would be considered a badge of honor, end quote.
He's getting treated with kid gloves. When His lawyer has come out and said he's not suicidal. So he's basically in the medical unit getting special treatment. But now, Diddy hungry? Apparently, he's missing his private chef. I hate when that happens, when you can't take your private chef, your celebrity chef, with you behind bars at the Metro Detention Center. That's gotta hurt.
In addition to snacks and hygiene items, Diddy has the option to purchase full meals from the MDC commissary. His options include stuffed chicken with rice, eggplant parmesan, bone-in chicken, a rib steak, or beef chullend. The estimated billionaire will have to watch his $160 spending limit per trip.
What? Did I just hear a ribeye? Let me check that. A ribeye, beef stew, egg parm, chicken with rice? What? Whoa. Well, let me see. Grits, oatmeal, pancake syrup, French toast. I'd like some French toast. What's for lunch? Chicken wrap, hamburgers, baked chicken, tacos. I would love a taco. Dinner, roast beef. I'd like that. Salisbury steak. Fajitas? What? Okay, can we just get real for just one moment? Chris McDonough joining me, Director Cold Case Foundation, former homicide detective, and former vice detective. He is not suicidal, Chris. His own lawyer has stated that. So why is he getting kid glove treatment, Chris McDonough?
That is an absolutely great question, Nancy, because in these units, they're special housing units, right? The SHU unit. The whole purpose of that is to house somebody in there because of one, their a threat assessment comes up that this guy is a high threat and or a high target threat, meaning somebody else wants to take this person out.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.